Welcome back, Noodle Squad. I am your host, Noel Mulkey, and you are listening to Noodle On with Noel, the podcast where we share stories, insights, and noodle on all the big and small moments in life. And I'm your host, Noel Mulkey. I'm super excited because I think we're on episode 12 now. I think so. I think we're on episode 12. I did a bonus episode. I've always wanted to say I've done a bonus episode. Go listen to it. That was from last week. But today I'm super excited because I have never had we're on season one, episode 12, and I've never had a guest. And I wanted this podcast to feature guests every now and then. And I'm actually surprised I've made it this far without one. But today is a special day because we are going to have a guest. Her name is Lydia, and before I have her on, I just wanted to share my story with Lydia. I met Lydia through social media. She was working for Head Wheels at the time, but it was really cool because she ended up getting to go to Hawaii in October with me. Well, with she got hired from a company I'll let her share the story. I will let Lydia share this whole story. But anyway, she basically came to Ironman World Championships with me and stayed in our little house and helped. And I thought she'd be a perfect first guest to have on the podcast because I think the way she envisions I'll let her explain. But basically, I think it's really cool what she's been able to accomplish in such a short time of getting into sports media. And I just think it's a really cool – I just think her passion for sports media, for triathlon and what she has been able to do is really inspiring. And I hope that you guys are able to learn something. And also, So I'm excited to also test my interview skills because I have never had a guest, like I said. So pretty much without further ado, I want to welcome to the Noodle On with Noel podcast, Lydia Grunewald. Hello, Lydia.
Hello.
Hi, Lydia. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Noel?
Good. I am so excited to have you. I was asking you before we started recording, I said, this is your first podcast ever, right?
Yes, this is.
I have, first of all, I wanted to say, thank you for coming on and we're sticking with me for the little technical difficulties we've had. I was like, Lydia, this might go horrible if I don't know how to set up a second guest, but it looks like, fingers crossed, everyone, it looks like it's working because you have sound and you have visual. But anyways, I just wanted to, what we're going to do today is first of all, Lydia, how did we meet? Well, no, that's not, you know what? That's not a good question. No, we're talking about Lydia today. Lydia, you are our guest. So I want you to let us know, first of all, what made you get into, how did you go from seeing triathlon to now pretty much being on the media side? You've worked now with the T100 series. You've worked with professionals, very closely with professionals. And you have now got, I don't want to say free because it wasn't because you're working, but you pretty much got a free trip to Hawaii for the Ironman World Championships. And I hate that word because it's not free. You literally worked your ass off there. I saw you. You worked every single day. So it wasn't free. But you didn't pay any money for it. Sorry, I'm going to let you talk. I can talk on him, but I want to know. Yeah, so tell me about your triathlon journey in media.
Yeah, I kind of started triathlon in the fall of 2021. I had just gotten done with kind of a messy breakup and needed something new. And I have a heart condition, so I never thought I'd be able to do one. Decided I was going to do one. I competed in Ironman Wisconsin in 2022, which is a whole nother story. But ended up interning at Fat Bike Worlds, which was a bike race that my bike club put on locally, and met Andrew Head, who suggested I work for them as their marketing intern, and just kind of fell in love with being behind the camera at all these events. And my goal had always been to make it to Hawaii to race the world championships, but after my first Ironman, it just didn't sound as fun anymore. So I made the leap actually a year ago yesterday to buy a camera, and since then, I've just really kind of thrown myself into it, and it's been a blast.
That was another good, you're right. I don't even know why I didn't even put that in here. I think we're going to have to take time for that little Ironman Wisconsin story, because that's a really cool story, and it shows, I think it's a testament to how badass you are. So we're going to actually, yes, there's no structure here. I want to hear it. Let's hear about your Ironman Wisconsin story, if you don't mind. I remember Lydia telling me about this and being like, wow, that's hardcore. Yeah, go ahead. Your day at Ironman Wisconsin.
Yeah, that morning it was supposed to be rainy. So I was nervous all week already about it because I was 18 and an Ironman is already a really far distance. But as soon as I heard rain, I was like, I've never even ridden my bike in the rain. I've never taken off my wetsuit when it's raining on me. And I was like, running in wet, soggy shoes sounds horrible, but was kind of like, all right, it is what it is. Got suited up. On the swim, the way that the Madison, Wisconsin works is there's a terrace off to the side. So as you're swimming, all like the waves from people swimming are bouncing back off the terrace. So coming back on lap one of the swim, I ended up getting really sick from all of the waves, which I'm from Wisconsin. I've never swam in waves. And so I got out of the water finally, like 2 minutes before the cutoff, just felt so gross, but came out of the water. I was blowing kisses to everyone. I was just on this like crazy high. And ended up out on the bike, and I think about 30 or 40 miles in, I got really sick. I ended up with severe hypothermia, and I don't have any memory up until mile 85 when there was an ambulance. And I, like, for the first time in my life, really contemplated just biking over to the ambulance and calling it cool. Didn't do that. Regretted it the entire rest of the day. Ended up making it to transition and was ready to call it until my family friends, the Burtons, Corey Burton was standing outside and was like, you got this, like, you're not quitting, and got me in there. I got the transition. They told me I was no longer able to race. They took my timing chip. I was blue everywhere, and I just wasn't really okay with that. So I put on my running shoes. I stole the volunteer sweatshirt and sandwich. So I would like to apologize to her if she's listening. Sorry. Don't remember doing it, but I have your sweatshirt still in my closet, and I wear it all the time.
Oh, do you? That's funny. That's awesome.
I do. And I ended up getting pulled at mile 19 because I didn't have a timing chip anymore. So that was my day at the race. But after being that sick, I think the next 6 months were pretty bad with Wisconsin winter, and my lungs just really didn't tolerate the cold after that day. I remember I got back to my hotel that night and laid in a cold bathtub for about 45 minutes. So...
You made it to, you were officially DQ'd at the 80 mile mark, correct? Or in transition?
Technically in transition, but it never went through until mile 19 of the run when they pulled me.
Which is so, to me, that's so freaking badass because you're already not in like a great headspace. Actually, it sounds like you were in a pretty good headspace because you kept going. But like to get disqualified sort of and then still be like, fuck that. I'm going to go, I'm still finishing this thing. And you went 19 more miles, which I think that's at least like another 3.5-4 hours.
I actually did do the last 6 miles of the run too.
You did? Okay, seven. That's what I thought. You finished the Ironman. That's what I remember. I was like, you didn't make mile 19, but you finished, right?
I never got to go to the finish line, so I never got a medal or a shirt. But they,
but you finished the distance. You did 140.6.
Yeah, they were like, you're done, and I was like, okay, can I still run the course? They're like, no, and they were like, we'll drive you back, and I ended up just kind of walking away down the course and finishing it I just didn't go down the finish line. I just walked off to the side.
So I think that's a testament to, like, you set out, like, literally everything that could go wrong was kind of going wrong. Like, I mean, at mile – you said you were already hypothermic at mile 40, correct?
Yeah. It was a 35-mile-per-hour wind kind of day.
And so you made it – you were hypothermic at 40, and you still made it to the 112, and then you still finished a marathon. So I don't know – first of all, I don't like how they disqualified you and still – I get it was for safety, but I do not – I'm not a fan of how they disqualified you, and then you were still – like, I don't know – I don't know why they disqualified you if you were still in it tough enough to make it to at least mile 19. So why did they say they disqualified you? Because it was a medical –
It was against medical advice or something? Medical emergency.
Medical emergency.
Yeah, they had, I think over half the field got pulled that day or dropped out.
I don't, what, I love triathlon, but I'm so totally on the side of like, I cannot stand being cold. I've shared this with Lydia. I just can't stand. So I think one of my worst nightmares is getting out of a wet swim and then getting onto a bike and it's also freezing and raining. That's horrible. So kudos to everyone who finished Ironman Wisconsin that year. What year was that?
That was 2022.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, so that wasn't really why I know that was a sign. I just remember hearing the story from you, Lydia, and I was like, that is a badass story to share. You haven't done a, or you haven't even thought, you haven't thought of doing an Ironman since then, right? Because now you've switched to, pretty much after that, you switched to the media side, correct?
I did. I did a half Ironman this summer with my friend for her first one, and that was no training. So that felt pretty similar to Madison.
Well, Wisconsin, it was in Wisconsin, right?
No, we did. Oh, yes, it was in Wisconsin, but it was Door County, so it was just a local one. But it was a blast, very well organized.
Okay, shout out to local races. Everyone, support your local races.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and then I guess so. Then now that you've done one, but then you switch to, and I want to get into this because triathlon, real quick, for a little intro about triathlon media for people who don't know, it is very small community, like pretty much all the players, all the photographers kind of know each other. I would assume that's kind of the same for other smaller sports. Like I'm sure every cycling photographer, but like when you get up to like, I guess bigger sports like football or something, I don't know. But it is interesting because at the triathlon, you'll see like at the big world events, you'll see the same kind of group of photographers. Shout out to James Mitchell. He's one of the ones I've known personally. A lot of names are escaping me, but there's a few. Lydia is now one of them. But it's like this little group who kind of goes to all the races around the world, whether it be for the World Triathlon Circuit, Ironman Circuit, T100 Circuit. These are all different
they're very different distances.
There are different distances, they're different kind of people racing, but it's all kind of the same photographers. And it's really cool because I think that's one thing about that is like the up and coming photographers do have a little network there. If I've heard, well, let's hear from an up and coming photographer, how you, I guess you do have a little bit of in your area, like I guess at the Ironman World Championship, you had people there to kind of look up to and be like, I want to do what they're doing. I don't know. Let's roll with that. So what, since triathlon is kind of such a niche sport, how did you go from, I just remember talking, so this is really cool guys, because I remember talking to Lydia before Worlds. It was like August or something. And I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be, I think I told you, I was like, I would love you to come, but I don't know if it's gonna work out. And then you found out a way to get there. Yeah, I just thought it's just amazing. So yeah, let's go. How did you get to the Ironman World Championship as a photographer? Let's go with that.
Yeah, I decided I was gonna buy a camera last year in February, which I guess I decided in January. And I think it's really funny because I thought photography was such like an overpriced scam before, where I was like, I can take the same picture with my iPhone. No, I don't think that anymore. But I have always loved being involved in the triathlon community in some way. And I really felt fulfilled working at Head Cycling because they gave me opportunities to go meet the professionals. And I ended up shooting the PTO US Open in 2023 before I got my camera. And I ended up buying the same camera I used there because I just had such a blast shooting with them. And I got to meet all these athletes and kind of realize they're just normal people once you like talk to them like they're humans. So that was really cool. And I kind of felt like I could build a network there and maybe try to be in this business and still have triathlon in my life and in my career in some way. So after getting my camera in September, I had joined this photo class and I'd never taken a photo class. I very much was new at photography, but my friend and a whole bunch of my friends always go down to Madison to watch Ironman. And I was like, oh, I could maybe get a media pass here. So I emailed Ironman and they were like, no, you can't have a media pass for this. You need someone to hire you to get that. So I called every news station within a 50-mile radius of Madison, Wisconsin, and Spectrum One News picked up, while we were on our way down there. And I said, I will give you an entire gallery of free photos for whatever you want them for. I need you to send me one email to Iron Man. And so I got myself and my friend Hope both media passes. And it was great because it was her first Iron Man. She's doing that one next year. So she kind of got to see the whole behind the scenes, and we had a blast taking photos. So I used that as my portfolio as soon as I got done with that race. And while I was at that race, I told all the Iron Man staff, all of my friends, my professors, I was like, I am going to be in Hawaii for Kona for a week. I had no plan to get there. I just told everyone it was happening. I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to shoot Kona. And I found that a lot of the time here, people tell you you can't do things, which for me really motivates me to be like, all right, watch me do that thing.
Oh, well, let me interrupt because I forgot. Yeah, I don't want to like put him on blast, but didn't one of your professor literally said like, or did someone say in your class that you can't do that or something? Or
yes, one of my professors told me before I went to Madison. I actually have all of my media passes now. Oh, you can't see them here.
Ooh, show them. Yes, everyone watching on YouTube, here's Lydia's media passes. Where's Hawaii's?
This one's my Hawaii media pass.
There's Hawaii, you guys.
I'd always dreamed on having them because I have a whole wall of medals for all the races I've done in like my triathlon closet. But these are kind of like photo medals.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. I was really excited. This one's my one from Madison that I got. The woman who gave me this, her name is Katie. So shout out to Katie. Awesome. Katie was the first person I met there, and I told her, I was like, you know, a lot of people told me I wouldn't make it here. I'm like, and now we're late to pick up our media passes, but we'd love to have a media pass for the half today. Is there any way you can get me it? And she put a media wristband on my wrist, and she said, how's that? Someone might ask you for a pass. I just don't know where they are. And I said, that's totally fine, but I need the media pass so I can bring it home and show my professors. So here's amazing. My media pass. I also filmed one of my last semester assignments in the finisher shoot at Ironman, talking about what I want to be when I grow up, which was the media.
Wow. I save all awesome. My media passes too. I don't have half as many as you do, but I love them because you can just like wear them now. Like they're, but that's something. So you pretty much like didn't really have an avenue to get this media pass for the Wisconsin. And then you just called a bunch of news. You just thought of that. That's really cool.
I just thought photographers are expensive, so someone's going to jump at this opportunity. And I mean, I'm not opposed to sending out free photos. My mindset in photography is I'll do everything for free one time. So I'll do a free senior photo shoot. I'll do a free wedding. I'll do a free triathlon. And so after telling everyone I was going to Kona, I sat down and I emailed 150 different companies asking if anyone wanted to fly me to Kona, and I would take photos for them for free the whole weekend. Wow. And as long as they want me there. And TriDot ended up reaching out, and they were like, yeah, that sounds great. And so I panicked a little bit and DM'd every photographer in the triathlon space that I know. And I was like, hey, this is a thing that I'm doing, and I'm really scared. And of course, James Mitchell responded, and he goes, I have a guy I want you to talk to. He goes, you're going to talk to Darren Wheeler. Here's his WhatsApp. And talking to Darren was phenomenal. I got so much great advice. And then James goes, can you change your flight to Hawaii? And I was like a little bit panicked, like, oh my God, they don't want me to go anymore. Like, they don't think I'm good enough to go here. And they were like, well, we have a job for you before Hawaii if you want it. And so I actually got told 8 days before I was going to Hawaii that I was flying out to Vegas for 3 days to shoot the T100 in Lake Las Vegas. And I really credit Darren and Woot for teaching me how to take such great photos so quickly and how to edit them within like 8 hours. So that was a really good learning experience right ahead of Kona for me.
I didn't actually, I just learned something. I thought I didn't know you knew about, Kona before the T100. Anyways, the T100 was like 2 weeks before Hawaii, 3 weeks.
It was actually, so I left for
Vegas. Oh, you said 8 days.
On a
8 days.
Friday morning. So I found out 8 days before I left for Vegas. I left for Vegas on a Friday morning. Landed at 8 a.m. I started shooting at 9 a.m. and we shot all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then Sunday we shot all day and edited. And I left the hotel at 9 p.m., hopped back on a flight from Vegas to Minneapolis, where that's my home airport, and then got off of that plane and walked straight onto my plane for Hawaii.
Amazing.
And went to shop for another 8 days.
Yeah. And I remember when you landed in Hawaii, you hadn't slept in like I don't know, over 48 hours or 30 or something like that. You hadn't slept in a long time and you were still going. I was like, I want some of that energy. I just think that's really cool. So that's some kind of insight that the T100 series in Lake Las Vegas was like pretty much, I think it's pretty much all top triathlon professionals. So it's the top of the sport at a kind of a half distance-ish, but I think that's really cool that they even like, I don't think that it's not really, yeah, it's all professionals. And then let's go back real quick. You said you spend an afternoon just finding emails of different companies that might be in Hawaii or just in the triathlon, like, or just, you knew that like Trek Bikes will be there. And you just spent like a few hours literally emailing 150 people.
Yeah, I wrote one really good email and sent it out to Head Cycling because I knew them. And right. I think I sent it out to Zip and Envy and Roka and
okay, so just all the big name
sponsors. But yeah. Then that was only like 40 people. And I was like, well, I don't really like 1 in 40 odds. I'd rather have like bigger odds than that. So I ended up going through every single piece of triathlon gear I have and finding all the brands of those and emailing them. And then going through my friend's triathlon gear and going through the people, like the big brands, what other brands do they follow? Who have they collabed with? And then I went through some of the athletes I know sponsors and just kind of tried to find every brand under the sun.
That is like, I hope people hear that story and are like, wow, I could like go do that. Like, I don't know. Cause I just remember when I first started, a good example of this would be like, well, when I first started triathlon and actually trying to be a triathlete, I don't know, in like 2015, 2016, I remember thinking, how do you like even get in touch with companies who might want to sponsor you? And I remember from like people been saying, well, just email them. What's the worst that can happen? They say no. And I just think that's cool because like that is really a method. People, and it's just, what is the worst that happened? They say no. Or I guess the worst that happened is they say no, or they just don't answer you. And I'm sure out of 150, you probably didn't get 150 replies.
No, Head said, if you're there, let us know. Like, we would love to connect with you. And I did end up seeing them there, which is right. So good. No, I really love them. I love the whole team there. I love the whole team there. And then just Tridot responded. And they were like, hey, yes, like, let's talk about this. And then their VP marketing's wife went into labor the day that we were supposed to have our meeting. So then He's like, hey, sorry, my wife just went into labor with our fourth kid. And of course, I was like, take care of that. That is way more important than me going to Hawaii. And I didn't hear back from them for like 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to Hawaii. And then I got a call during my photo class with my professor who didn't think I'd be able to go to Hawaii. And I ended up just walking out of class and he was like, yeah, like we want to fly you there. What do you need? And I was like, all I need is a flight and I need you to cover my food. I'm like, I think I know a guy who I can stay with. That's all I need. And so I ended up calling Noel and I was like, hey, can I please, pretty please, ready, pretty please stay with you?
I think that's so, what's the word, poignant or like that you actually got the call in the photo class of the guy, of the teacher who said you weren't gonna be able to do it. And that's when you got the call. That is so freaking funny. I love that. You should have like put it on speaker and be like, can you say that again?
The rest of the kids in my class were really supportive, which was good. I was worried that there would be like a lot of jealousy surrounding it because I have never taken a photo class and I just got a camera like in the last year. I mean, I use it every day at least, but
yeah,
I was definitely scared that it was going to be bad.
Well, and I wanted to say also having watched firsthand while we were in Hawaii, because the World Championships is like a festival, or I don't even know how to really I guess all kind of Ironman, but it's just, there's always something like the entire week before this race, there's expos and athlete meetings and this and that, and you have to be at the practice swim, and it's just a whole, and I firsthand did want to say, I watched Lydia work from like, she was out the door before I was for my workouts and came home later than, she just was out there all day working, and then you immediately come home. And then I remember she would get her laptop out and start editing. It was like all day. It was definitely something that I definitely think like, yeah. I know you were there for free, or I know you were, but you can definitely charge for that. Like, that's definitely a big old service that like, now you have the experience to say, now you're charging, Lydia.
Your mom saved me on that trip. I would get back so late and I would be so hungry. And it was a mile walk back from where I was to get back to the Airbnb. And I'd always be out later than everyone else was up. So I'd walk alone in the dark. And like one night I had fallen and scraped my knee in front of Mark Allen. And it's like so embarrassed. Was so worried about my gear. And I just like came home. I felt so defeated. I was like, there were tears in my eyes. And I opened the fridge and there's a little post-it note with my name on it with dinner from Noel's mom. And I was like, I cried and I FaceTimed my mom. And I was like, Mom, they're so nice.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
I did. Yeah.
Was I asleep or something?
Yeah, you were asleep. It was like 8 p.m.
I didn't know that. That was actually one of my questions. That was actually one of my rapid fire questions was, what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you in photography? Because I know of the story. You were like literally on rocks or something too, right?
Yeah. Like, me and Mark Allen and a bunch of the Tridot team had right behind the expo, there's this like gorgeous beach. And so right after the Parade of Nations, everyone walks through the expo as part of the end of it. And so it was super busy, but there was this like gorgeous, like pink and orange, like so vibrant sunset behind us. So I like snuck through the Kirad tent to go look behind it. And Mark Allen and the social media manager for Tridot were both over there. And they were like, oh, careful, the rocks are slippery. And Mark Allen's like, oh yeah, like people fall on them all the time. And I was like, oh, good to know. Thank you. Like, I'll make sure I don't. And as soon as I like stepped forward, I just boom, like face planted into the rocks. My camera hit the ground. They were all like, the race hasn't even started and our photographer just threw her camera on the rocks in the water. And I was just like, oh, my knee's bleeding. And then for some reason, no one had any Band-Aids, even though we were across from the Kirad booth. So I had these, like this blood dripping all the way down my leg. I'm walking home alone in the dark. Of course, I have my whole camera bag, my laptop, all of my expensive gear, and then myself and a dead phone and an almost dead computer. And so I'm walking back to the Airbnb and there's these people in a Pillar Nutrition shirt. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like someone else who's working this event, I can go and ask them for help. And I was like, can you GPS this and make sure I'm going the right way? And it wasn't a Pillar Nutrition employee. It was just a guy with their shirt on. But they saw that I was staying at Noel's Airbnb on there because Noel had sent it to me. And they were like, you know Noel? And right? So now since they knew Noel, they helped me and I got back to my Airbnb, which was phenomenal. But I was just so defeated. They were like, are you okay? Your leg is bleeding. And it was like so dramatic. It was all the way down my leg for like this tiny little scrape.
Oh, it was. I remember coming in. I'm like, I remember seeing the blood. Your whole leg was bloody. But and it was also, what was it? It was that little walk, the walk you had to make actually was kind of like at night with like, there's like no lights on that street.
No, it's completely dark. And it's like completely dark.
Yeah. But that would be scary.
On the beach. Yeah, it was definitely something out of my comfort zone, but by the end of the trip, it was nothing. I was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, because it's it was like, what was it? He like said, be careful, and then it was like 2 seconds later, you fell.
It was within like the same minute.
Mark Allen, everyone, for people who don't know, he's won Ironman World Championships 6 to 8 times, I think, and he's like now the, I guess he'd be the one that maybe even hired you for Tridot or may had some sort of input. I don't know. He works for Tridot, correct?
He does. He's one of their legends in the series. And actually, I would say my most embarrassing moment wasn't that. It was
really
meeting. No, unfortunately, no. I met Kathleen while I was there, and she had this like cool Tridot triathlon kit on. But I was shooting the kids race, so she had her 3-year-old grandson with her in a triathlon Tridot kit. And I was like, oh my gosh, can I get your picture? So I got her picture with her grandson, and I had like all these videos of them. And I was like, I don't know why she likes Tridot so much, but how cool is that? And then I met her the next day when she was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
After having talked to her multiple times and having no idea who she was. For people who don't know, she's the woman who won the race. That iconic Julie Moss crawling video is she's the woman who won that day. So
I don't even know if I knew that. I don't even know if I knew that. Yeah, Julie Moss didn't win, but that day that happened, that was the winner.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Oh man, you met a ton of legends. So basically you met the people who kind of brought triathlon into like the pioneers of our sport, so to speak. I wanted to also ask you real quick, Lydia, just talking on the triathlon community, from your perspective, does it feel inviting, welcoming? Does it feel the photography aspect of it? Like how it, what is the community like from your perspective? If you are like, I guess my question is, what is my question here? Like if you had advice to give up and coming, people who want to get into photography, well, really for any sport, not just this sport, volleyball, ping pong, like people who want to get into niche photography, or I don't even know if you call it niche, just sports photography, sports media. I want to know from your perspective, what would you say to them?
One of my bosses one time told me that fear is just the information that you're requesting over the information that you've been supplied. So for me, like, I think that the triathlon industry is a super scary industry to try to get into because there's not a lot of job security. It's a sport that is simultaneously growing and shrinking. So depending on the event you're at, depending on the distance you're at, depending on the athletes you're around, like, it's a different environment every time. And I know I was really scared, and I was scared to like meet all these professional athletes. I was scared to meet these people who are like world champions multiple times. And honestly, I was terrified of it until I met Tim O'Donnell, and he was the first pro I ever met. And he was just like a normal person who wanted to help me get into triathlon media. And I feel like after I kind of learned that all these pro athletes and these pro photographers are just normal people, I started reaching out, and that would be my biggest piece of advice is realize that everyone is just a normal person doing very similar things to you, and just start reaching out to them because they want to help you. Like, I love it when photographers reach out to me for advice. I will yap about it all the time.
Oh, I actually would love to hear. Do you have like other photographers have reached out to you and like, okay. Like people who want to get into it or people who are already established?
No, like a lot of people who are trying to get into it, who kind of known. Yeah, just kind of throughout like the triathlon circuit. Like some of these guys that I met in Milwaukee for the US Open several years back reached out and they were like, how are you doing this? Like, this is what I want to do. And people I met at T100 are like sending their cousins and their other 20-year-olds that they know. They're sending them my contact to like kind of help get them started, which is something that is really fulfilling to me. It's just kind of being able to like give that advice and be like, yeah, dude, it's really scary, but once you're in, and it's really fun.
Amazing. Like, that's exactly what I wanted to hear from you. Is like, I don't know if you, so you have been giving, so what's something that people ask you, how you got into it? How are you doing this? How are you?
Yeah, I get that a lot of like, how do you get these opportunities? Like, a lot of the time people don't know what to have in their portfolio, or they get imposter syndrome, I think, really easy, which I feel like, feel you there. But I feel like knowing that like wherever you are at is a great spot to jump in. And for me, like working for T100 was really scary because that was my first time getting paid for a triathlon. And I was getting paid and I was like learning under two other photographers. So it was like I wanted to be on my game the whole time. And having done that, like kind of throwing myself in the deep end was like the best thing I've ever done. So I would say just go for it. Just decide it's going to be fine and just go and do it.
Was that your first time ever getting paid for any, not just in triathlon, just any photography? Or had you been you've done photography before that?
Yeah,
that you've been paid for your work?
Yeah, just in the last year. But yes, definitely getting paid for the other stuff. But sports photography is so up in the air because I can't be like, oh, can you cross that finish line one more time?
Yeah.
Like, oh, can you pass this guy on your bike one more time? I missed the shot. Like,
it's almost like wedding photography. Like, it's very photography in the moment.
It is. And you like need to know, especially when you're working for a brand, what content they're looking for. Like, what do they want it for? Are they looking for really cool pictures, action shots for their Instagram? Or are they looking for photos of just their products being in use? Because those are different photos. And are we focusing on the brand or are we focusing on the athletes? Like, are these sponsored athletes that we're trying to get photos of or just athletes using their gear? And so it's so many moving parts, and a lot of the time you'll be doing photo and video, and they're going to want it. Like, if once the swim has started and you have swim pictures, once everyone's on their bikes, they want those swim pictures so they can post them. So it's a lot of back and forth, finding somewhere with Wi-Fi, getting your photos submitted, and then that's kind of, it's just a lot of back and forth.
Well, because, right, they want, if it's, especially if with an Ironman distance so long, they want to put, here's our athlete first out of the water while they're on the bike. You need to get that photo edited into them, right? So they can put on their socials. That is another, I never even thought of that. You're right. It is such a in the moment. You can't have them like come over, do the finish line again. We missed the shot. You're right. It's so, it's like what weddings are. You can't miss the wedding moments that it is a, that is a high pressure. It's a high pressure photography job, I will say. And you're doing amazing on it.
Thank you. I think, having been a triathlete and like having done races is huge. Like, if you want to be in triathlon photography, the most difficult piece of advice I'm going to give you is train for a triathlon and compete in one. Cause knowing how the athletes are feeling and thinking in the moments that they're doing those things is huge. Or like knowing when it's okay to cross and people won't be upset about it. And when you do not want to be in that person's way, like, you need to know when you're looking at their splits, like, oh, they're running this fast. That means I need to be here in this amount of time. And if I'm not here, I'm going to miss the shot. So it's a lot of time management and kind of understanding the full dynamic of a race day and knowing that, like, oh, they're 5 minutes from being off the bike, but they still have to be in transition. So knowing that you have like that wiggle room or you don't have any wiggle room is huge for being in the triathlon industry.
Yeah, I'm trying to sit here and think, like, if you are a triathlon photographer, you really, really can't get better experience than having done a triathlon just without the camera, just to know, like, the format. You know that they kind of are dizzy getting out of the swim. And that's a very good point, Lydia. They definitely should probably do one. They're going to shoot this sport. Yeah, because it is a total – it is a big learning curve, a massive learning curve. There's so many moving parts with this sport. You know, you can film the bike. You can shoot the bikes before the athletes even get on them and the day before transition. It's a lot of moving parts. I already forgot. You also said you do enjoy still photos more than video, right?
Yes, previously, but now – I've gotten a lot more people asking me to, like, if I do video or can I do video? So I've been doing a lot of video for our high school swim team in town. Just because now that I'm a triathlon photographer, like, you don't really shoot triathlons in January.
So, no, you don't.
No. So I've been trying to practice a lot of, like, my swim and my running photos lately. And that's been really fulfilling, doing some video stuff for them. I definitely prefer photo, but I'm leaning more into video lately than I have been photo.
Good. Well, I was going to say, because, yeah, in we're such a summer sport. In the winter, there's literally no races in the Northern Hemisphere, except there's a ton of running races. It's a big running race. And there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of people do. And swimming, there's swimming. But, yeah, we're such and I guess indoor track. Yeah, we're such a summer sport. So that's good. So you're doing running races and stuff also. Or maybe. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a lot of, like, swim, bike, run individually.
I was going to say, because I think it's summer in Australia right now. I travel there a lot for people who follow me, and they're just doing their, like, summer season. But, yeah, up here, we really go from, like, this sport really is from, like, kind of over in October. Even as soon as it gets cold, no one's swimming out in freezing lakes. We need open water that's warm. Okay, so I wanted to do a quick with Lydia, my first guest. We're going to do some rapid fire questions. I was like, I know when I have a guest on Noodle On with Noel, I'm going to do a segment where I do rapid fire questions. I've always wanted to do this. I already have one that we crossed off but I actually knew Lydia was the falling one, or the other one, the lady who ended up getting the reward.
Kathleen McCartney.
Yes, into the Hall of Fame. Okay, so here we go. These are rapid fire questions with Lydia that also kind of pertain to your job. Okay. Anyways, what's your favorite sports moment you've ever captured?
When I was in Lake Las Vegas, there was a really hard moment on the bike where I really wanted to get a picture of like the person still and the whole thing blurry in the background. And I had Woot working with me, and he was like, "Here's what you do." He goes, "You just hold it, and you gotta move your camera at the same speed as they're going past you." And so I tried all day and couldn't get it, and I finally got one picture, and it's still my favorite photo I've taken.
You even showed me that photo. Here, well, for
Yes.
people watching on YouTube, Lydia, just point like this. Up. Put, okay, that's the photo, guys. That's
There
the
it
photo
is.
she's talking about. I'm gonna put that there in after editing. Okay. I think I know this one. Actually, I don't know this one. Early bird or night owl?
Oh, it really depends on the time of year. In the
Yeah.
winter, I am up later and I sleep in more. In the summer, I am up with the sun.
I was gonna say, I feel like for you, I feel like you're like
Or
both.
both.
Like you like don't sleep much.
Yeah, caffeine. Is that an option?
Yeah, I don't. I remember you did like sleep the littlest out of all of us, but you had, yeah, but okay. So, oh, what is your go-to camera gear?
I shoot on a Sony A7 III. I have two of them. And then I use a Sigma 24 to 70, which is like your eye length too, like that much zoomed. And then a 1-400 millimeter, which is a really close lens. So those are usually my go-to. That's what I'll have on my camera.
And it all fits in a relatively small backpack, right?
It does.
Or is
It
it
fits.
big?
It's like a normal size backpack. I don't have either of them in here. I have a slightly smaller one and a big one, but now with classes, I have a Tuesday, Thursday one that has all of my camera gear for my photo classes, and my smaller one is now my school backpack that has all my textbooks in it. So they both can fit four textbooks and a MacBook. And then
Wow.
my other one I can fit, the one that normally has my camera gear, I can fit both my cameras, all of my lenses, all of my batteries, all of my cleaning stuff, and then still have the entire top half pocket to put in like a spare outfit and my computer
Wow.
charger, and I can have my planner and my iPad and my laptop all in the back. So they store pretty much everything.
What was the camera that hit the rocks? What was that one called? That the it's very durable, obviously. What was that? Which one's that one?
That was a Sony A7 III. That's
And
above
it
the mile.
really slammed, right? Like on the rocks, and it
It did.
completely fine.
I'm super nice to my camera gear, except when I'm actually using
Well.
it. So the camera lenses and the gear are both super durable. I mean, I have a video of me holding up my camera in the ocean, like this deep, shooting all these swimmers. And I mean, my camera got drenched that day and it still works phenomenally. So shout out
Oh,
Sony.
yeah, that's a, and it's not waterproof, is it? Well, it's not,
No, not at
it
all.
kind of is, but it's not advertised as
No.
waterproof.
No, it's not. And I actually just bought a waterproof housing, so now it's
Oh,
waterproof. But
cool.
back then
Okay.
it was definitely not, and I probably should not have brought it in the ocean.
That means we need to get you in some water. Oh, I guess you're shooting the swim team. You need to be in the water. That was the next question was favorite location for a photo shoot. Before you answer that real quick, I don't know if, well, I don't know if you have a specific location, but I've always thought like for triathlon, there's always at one or two at the bigger races, there's always someone underwater getting the shot. I always thought that'd be cool to be the person under the water. But then you're the rest of the day, you're like, well, I don't know. Let me, yeah, answer that question. What is your favorite location for a photo shoot? You don't really do photo shoots. You do, well, yeah, you do. I guess I'll have you answer
Yeah.
that.
It really depends on the race. For me, I
Yeah.
usually like the swim photos more than anything else, though. But I was a swimmer when I was little, so I have kind of a soft spot for swimming. And it's
Yeah,
harder to
and you
look
got,
cool when you're swimming.
yeah, and you got that. Lydia got a photo of me from way away. She can see my arm, and there's a dolphin behind me. And I have that photo forever. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to see anything out there. But she got it. She got the me swimming and the dolphin behind me. And I'm like, wow, that's because
Yeah.
I don't even, yeah.
And we got those ones of you at the start line for the Ironman World Champs this year.
Yes. Yeah. I got a lot of questions. I got some photos of me at the, and everyone's like, where'd you get those? Because I was like, I had a person because I don't think family members could really get the photos of their athletes right at the swim start. And I was like, I had a person. Lydia did it for me. Coffee or tea?
Coffee and Celsius, like whatever has the most caffeine, that's what I want.
Oh, yeah. I think my first time ever trying a Celsius was with you. I don't know. Did I try one of those?
Probably. Yeah. A lot of people have that experience with me.
It's like a healthy-ish monster, right? Sort of? Monster?
Yeah, except it's banned by the NCAA, though.
Really? Because of how much caffeine or what?
Because it has guarana seed extract in it. So if you take, like, a drug test for performance-enhancing drugs, it pops up.
Really?
And it's not a performance-enhancing drug, but it pops up as one. So they just tell all the NCAA athletes not to take it. Otherwise, they'll get disqualified.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that. You learn something new every day. So Celsius is banned by the NCAA.
Yes, it is.
I think you already said this, but I'll ask it again. I don't know if you did. What's the best advice you've ever received? I think you did say this, but maybe not.
Honestly, for me, the best advice I ever received was not really photo related. It was for my mindset. And it was every time that you think something really negative or like you're really feeling down, every negative thought that you have to say three positive things afterwards. And so for me, like that rule is if I'm really down with my photos or I'm really down with my school, like I'll say for the next 24 hours, I have to follow the three positives rule. And every single time I think something negative about myself or my work or what I'm doing, or I don't feel qualified to be doing what I'm doing, I just three positive things every time, like just right off the dome. And I will stop what I'm doing until I can think of all of those.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I love that. Every time you have a negative thought, think three positive thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Then it cancels out.
It's canceled out. Thank you for sharing that with us. Which athlete, dead or alive, would you love to photograph? Next question.
That's so hard. I'm going to say, originally, my answer would have always been Haley Chura. I just really love her kit, honestly. I just always wanted to shoot her because she was always so colorful. And now that I've worked with her, I really do love working with her. But I'm going to say Lucy Charles Barkley because I have wanted to meet not only her, but her sister Holly for a really long time. And actually watching the 2022 Kona World Champs documentary is what made me want to get into triathlon media. And I remember the whole day being like, I didn't know anyone in the pro world. I was just like, I want Lucy Charles to win. And Chelsea Sodaro won that year. And I ended up actually talking to her afterwards. And I would love to shoot her as well. So Lucy Charles or Haley Chura or Chelsea Sodaro.
Yeah, Lucy won the world championships last year.
Yes.
When it was just the all women's one. And Lucy Charles is our current women's world. No, she's not. She's the current Hawaii world championship winner. Laura Phillip is the Ironman world champion, defending champion. But Lucy's sister is really cool. I know Lucy's sister basically does her entire media because she's in the same industry you are, Lydia. It's the same, but she basically has Lucy as her athlete. So it's a pretty cool dynamic. So yeah, that would be great to meet them.
I really want to meet Holly Charles.
Yes, you guys, and you're on the track to meet her. She'll definitely be somewhere. You are in the next few years, in the next year, next year, I bet you'll meet them. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow you will. You're on track. What's your biggest creative inspiration outside of photography? That'd be kind of a confusing question, but you can.
I'm going to say graphic design. But
okay.
I'm not a graphic designer and don't really use a graphic design thing. I can actually show you if I move my computer. When I interned at Head, I was in Italy and I made all of these and they all little wheels that say Head inside of them. And they're like all of my favorite things.
Oh, so, wow. Like,
in this orange one, that way you can see the wheels right here.
Yeah.
The wheels over here. And then the sunflower, it's in the face. So I would say definitely just little pictures on my iPad have been a lot of fun.
Oh, you made all this. That was like the goal was to like hide a wheel in all of them or something.
Yeah. And then I printed them all out on mixed tiles and they hung up in my office for a really long time.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. That's really cool. And then I guess the last one was, if you weren't a photographer, what would you be doing? What would you do?
Ooh, probably still racing, triathlon in some form. But before I decided I was going to go to college for marketing, I was going to be a lawyer. So
that's right. You did say that. Were you...
consideration.
You you are, and you're done. You aren't doing law school anymore.
No, I might go back and do it later in life once I kind of settle down and have kids and can't travel every weekend for photography. But right now I'm just really looking for jobs in the triathlon industry.
Well, speaking of that, well, not of that. Speaking of kids, not kids, you just got married or you just got proposed to, right? Congratulations. Yes, Lydia,
and I just cut my finger on it.
What is it?
It's my ring, and I cut my finger on it hanging a towel the other day. So
oh, that's a cut. Oh, okay. Yes, congrats on all that. I forgot to say congrats at the beginning of the podcast. Yeah, Lydia just got engaged. Yeah, that was pretty much all my questions. Is there anything you'd want to share other than anything else you want to leave us with? I think people can learn a lot from last year of what you've done to get yourself to these events. And like, I just think that's super, I'm just impressed I'm just very impressed. And I just think it's, yeah, if you have anything else to add, let us know. I want to hear more if you have anything.
Yeah, definitely. Just anyone reach out if they have questions and they want to learn more, or they just need someone to tell them their work is good when they think it's bad, or they just need help or advice, anything. Like, reach out to myself and any other triathlon photographer or sports photographer. I have not ever had a photographer tell me, no, I will not help you, or no, I'm not going to give you a tip, or have an hour-long meeting with you so I can tell you what gear you should get. Like, photographers want to help other photographers. So definitely reach out to anyone that you're looking up to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, they're not like if you DM people, they're not like all dicks. Like, they're all like, there's like, yeah, they're nice. Like, they're not going to be like, they'll help you. Like, you basically, in your experience, other photographers want to help other photographers. They want to help.
Yes. And even though like you're in the same industry and you're technically like competitors, you can send 40 photographers to the same spot and you'll get a different picture every time. So I feel like photo, especially in this industry, is something so unique because they're like welcoming with open arms. And a lot of the photographers that have kind of been running the scene for a while are getting towards retirement. So they want to like push out the torch. And yeah, they're like, this is your thing now. Like, go take it away. Like, here's all of my tips. Here's what I would do. Like, I'm going to hold your hand through this whole race, is what Darren did for me in Lake Las Vegas. And I learned so much. And so many people are willing to do that. I've had multiple offers from photographers to go shoot with them. So definitely seek those people out.
That is true. Now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of the people, photographers in our industry, in the triathlon industry, are probably going to pass the torch at some point. They're all, no, I don't know about, I don't know. I'm sure they always want someone to like, not all. Yeah.
No, but a lot of them are kind of, I think, losing the love for traveling every weekend. The novelty wears off after a while.
It's hard. Like, I mean, it's hard. It's a lot of work, right? And it's also physical, too. They have to be out there for, like, 8 hours in the sun. And, like,
and it's like physical. During the World Championships, I walked over 20 miles.
Yeah. I don't doubt it.
You have to kind of be in shape, and you kind of have to know. You have to have a lot of planning ahead of time. So I could definitely see how after, like, 10, 20, 30 years, you're like, that was plenty. I've done my time. Like, I'm going to pass this on to someone else, and I'm going to move on to photography that doesn't make me travel from the UK to America to Hawaii to New York, yeah, and everywhere else all the time. Like, it's every weekend.
And they're, like, getting off the plane and, like, throwing their back at the hotel and going right to stuff to shoot. And I have seen them. You see some of these photographers out there, and I'm like, I know that's hard. They've been sitting there on that spot, like, getting these bike pics all day. And they're not done. They have to go back and edit it and then send it off to their respective people. And, yeah, it's I can totally see when you're kind of like, I'm had enough of this. But I wanted to say thanks, Lydia, for coming on, for being my first podcast guest ever. I don't doubt that we will. I don't doubt that we will have. I think we will have you again at some point. I'm sure we'll have you down the line again at some point. But I want to say thanks, you guys. If you want to follow Lydia, actually, Lydia, yeah, go ahead and give out all your socials and stuff that people can follow you on.
Yeah, my Instagram for photo is Lids Photography with two Y's. And so it's LYDS and then photography, two Y's. And my personal one, so Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everything is Lydia Rocks a Lot, but it's ROX.
I'll put that in the description, the show description and show notes. But thank you so much for being a guest, Lydia. And yes, I will talk to you soon. Thank you for having
me. Yes, thank you all for having me.
So that was our first guest, and I'm so excited to have more guests. I hope you guys enjoyed Lydia's inspiration and her enthusiasm for something that I think what is really cool about Lydia to me and the industry is like she found something she's super passionate about and is like doing it. And I don't know a lot of people currently that like are – I don't know a lot of people currently who like have that much like dedication to make something happen. I don't. I mean, Lydia is one of the people I know who I feel like she's going to get what she wants in life. So that is really inspiring. And I hope you guys learned or heard something that she said that resonated with you. She's also super personable. So if you want to reach out to her, like she said, go reach out to her. I'm sure she'll DM you back pretty fastly. But that was my first guest. That was my first guest on the podcast. And that's this week's episode, Lydia. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you have guests you have wanted to see or want to hear me interview, leave it in the comments below. And if you are enjoying the Noodle On with Noel, if you're enjoying my show, please go rate, review, and like, subscribe, all of the fun stuff. This has been another episode of Noodle On with Noel. And thank you for tuning in. And I will see you next week.